Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Oh, John, here we are again. Nipple piss bubbins to...
It begins. It begins. This time, one of them has fallen. Two of us left to remember the things. The distant memories. Gordon Byrne. The Krypton Factor. Help me. This is going to be a good one, Rhys.
This is good. Just so everybody knows, Cut Price, Mike Bubbins, standing... me,
yeah,
this year, because Mike is trapped on a plane.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened, but I mean, it's a piece of shit. The whole podcast is a piece of shit, as we know.
Yeah.
Badly put together, and late this time. You know, it's a free one, but it's late. In the words of Mike Bubbins, fuck him anyway. But
yeah, exactly. And if you don't like me, then just skip this one. See you next time.
You know, we can still talk about like shit, it. Rubber tubes, you know, a bar full of beans, gravel. It's all still there, but it's just a slightly different dynamic. And hopefully it'll bring some joy. Well, no, that's bollocks. Everyone's going to hate it, aren't they? Nobody likes it. They just do it. Something to fill the day, really. Yeah. You know, so.
What are you drinking?
I've had a can of Heineken just to get the pipes and valves going. What are you on at the moment?
I got. Just gonna open it out.
Lovely.
It's a local brewery called Propeller, and they do this. It's an IPA called Galaxy, and it's amazing. It's got like, it's good, but the beer they brew is really strong. It's like 6.5.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
So are you on a six? One can.
Are you on a 6.5er now?
I am. Yeah.
Is that the key to, especially listening to this sort of, you know, bag full of dog dirt is. Get one can and drink it incredibly fast before it begins. It helps the show go quicker, and it will
just loosens everybody up.
Yeah, loosens up the valves, gets the liquids running, and then just gets you on the toilet, and then that's it. You're done. You know, which is essentially what it's all about. I mean, many.
What are we going to do though? What are we going to do?
We can fill up some time. We can do. We can do some of the catchphrases, some of the usual shit.
Yeah.
Rubber pipes, gravel.
Rubber pipes.
Bar full of beans. Mention references to the 80s. We can have a remembering stuff section. I've got a few bits up my sleeve as well. So
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, carry on. We've got to do something to fill time.
I was going to say... we had some. I got some funny social media interventions.
Always nice to get involved with the people who are disappointed by it and give them a bit of a, you know, a bit of a shout out. I do respect them in a way, and it's nice to give them a bit of a shout out. So, you know, that's something. So,
Amiga, someone called Amiga said, "Dear Internet points of view, why does Demon Steed still continue to be made when it's just the same shit in a different order every week? Yours, Stephen Colchester."
Stephen, my wonderful child, such a fantastic point to make. And Stephen, I commend you on sending this message. In turn, I shall send you a Twix, a Kinder Surprise toy, and a used Johnny found on the side of the A4245, I believe, on the way to Cumbran. I'm not quite sure of the A road number. But Stephen, I assure you, you will be gifted in the afterlife with dirty toilet paper aplenty. remembering stuff.
I put a post out saying this week's free episode is on his way, but is delayed. Mm. And one of the best replies was, the most emotionally and spiritually expensive thing I've ever been that I've ever referred to as free.
Who sent that?
Someone called Keith.
Keith, Keith. My wonderful Keith. You have been so very, very special in sending me this message that I shall ensure that a Michael Jackson impersonator turns up at your house at 3 a.m. this morning, climbs to the window, and lies on top of you for no more than 45 minutes, ensuring the warmth his body supplies is the warmth I feel towards you for being so thoroughly disappointed by this sack of complete horseshit covered in maggots and the sputum from a thousand alcoholics' vomit. You bastard! I love you, Keith. Help me.
And then Pluto Shame said, going through a vigorous quality control check, is it? Which I think was sarcasm.
Pluto Shame, don't use your words of sarcasm against me in vengeance or anger. I hold only love for you. In return, if you wish to send me pictures of you in the bath, I shall send you £4.80 in cash. It's a treat for being a listener to this pile of bollocks. Take the pubes, use them as some sort of nail brush. Help me. Help me. Alan Bennett monologues. Late 80s television. Mother had a funny turn again tonight, so we stayed in to watch Krypton Factor with Gordon Burns. She enjoyed, I must say, the physical challenge, but she wasn't so happy with the flight simulator at the end, where one of the contestants failed trying to fly the plane to Changi Airport. Afterwards, she had another funny turn and asked if we could listen to some hip-hop 12 inches, so we listened to Wu-Tang Clan. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar, bill, yo. And afterwards, we listened to a 12-inch by Snoop Dogg. Me mind on me money and me money on me mind. Whereupon which I made a quip about having me mummy on me mind and me mind on me mummy. And she laughed and then went into a diabetic coma. And she hasn't come out since. So I'll place the rubber tube inside later and blow her up. Wake up, Mother. Alan Bennett here. No luck so far. Help me.
Crystal Maze, accountancy firm in matching tracksuits and perm, big round glasses. Richard O'Brien was replaced by Edward Tudor Pole. There we go. I did one.
Help me. Remembering stuff. Remembering stuff.
Help me.
He's just gonna, all we're going to do is we're going to get you doing the farting noises and straining as you do it, and this is going to be a fun. Help me. Help me. Les Dennis. Doing impressions of people from Coronation Street. You know, really, no Vera. The other one who died, it was his best mate. Remembering stuff. Clive James. That woman, Margarita Prakatan, who played the keyboard on it sometimes. Most of the people listening to this won't have any idea who the fuck I'm talking about. Neither do I, barely. Remembering stuff. Help me. Help me. Help me. Fucking help me.
Hetty Winthrop investigates.
Oh, brilliant. And
woman from Hyacinth. Woman from Keeping Up Appearances solves crimes with the young hobbit.
Fucking brilliant. Later on, that other one with the comedian with the curly hair, and he pretended to be a detective, but he was a bit quirky. Alan Bleasdale or something. I can't remember his name. He quit as popular on a Sunday afternoon. Quirky detectives, remembering stuff.
Thin blue line. Bit Rowan Atkinson. Policeman who likes curly whirlies.
Remembering the detectives with Jasper Carrot and Robert Powell. Quite funny. Can't really remember any of the episodes now, but Jasper's all right. Robert Powell wasn't bad, considering the fact he's just a straight actor. Remembering stuff.
That was good.
Great. I mean, we've already filled a good, seven or eight minutes there, so...
I've got some paranormal content that made me laugh that I wanted to share.
Is that genuinely, this is a first. There is actually
This is February the 25th, 2011 from livescience.com.
The headline
is amazing.
Mother was excited to find out today that we had some real paranormal news, so she read it out to me. Oh, go on, Alan Bennett me up. What happened in it?
The headline is "Famed Magnetic Boy is Probably Just Very Sticky."
My boys, my boys, Ian, the most magnetic of all the boys, is in course a wonderful child who's capable of miracles. You place a pin next to him, a fork, a spoon, even the hubcap of a car, it will stick to him. It's not due to magnetism. I assure you, it's not due to magnetism. What do they say about him?
A seven-year-old Serbian boy called Bogdan is attracting media attention for his apparent ability to attract other things such as silverware, remote controls, plates, and even a large frying pan. The objects seem to miraculously stick to the boy's skin. His family claim he's magnetic. However, an MSNBC reporter filmed an action says it's true, but according to a skeptic called Benjamin Radford, he thinks he's just sticky and leaning backwards a bit.
My dear, sweet, sweet Bogdan, with your incredibly sticky skin, your warm nipples, your armpits, your back, so incredibly sticky. Come, come, Bogdan, lay next to me and roll over me like a human duvet. Bogdan, not really magnetic, just really sticky.
Yeah.
Fuck me. So that's the paranormal. Also, got any more?
Yeah, that's the paranormal stuff. Oh, apparently they said he can't be magnetic because glass sticks to him and glasses are magnetic. So there we go.
Fuck,
the end line is the science suggests that Bogdan is not magnetic, but just rather an exceptionally smooth, particularly sticky boy.
Bogdan, you have betrayed me. All your stories of being magnetic, yet you have simply coated yourself in the insides of a Cadbury's cream egg and rolled around in some pubes for a while to prove that you are magnetic to hair. Leave now, Bogdan, and never, never darken my door. Ian, get the cape. It's time. Remembering stuff. Dean Saunders football. That's better. Fantastic.
There we go.
Fantastic. Wow. We're doing well so far.
10 minutes in.
See, we're only another sort of, you know, another fucking 50, and we've really hit
home. Don't worry. I've just saved us. I've got an article called 18 Things You Might Not Know About the A-Team.
Oh, fucking go on. Get in. Go on. This is fucking brilliant. You'll never guess what the A-Team are doing now. You'll be shocked to see Mr. T at 65 or 70 or whatever the fuck he is now. Face man looks unbelievable. Now he's old. Oh, bro, what have we got? What's the... Go on.
A-Team impersonators are in your area now.
Lose weight with this strict A-Team diet. Mr. T lost 73 stone in 3 weeks by simply applying this one simple trick. Oh, fucking...
10 reasons why you need to buy a van.
Oh. Eventually, Mother got upset with the A-Team after realising every episode was the same, so she gave up on that and decided to become a freedom fighter for herself. She accidentally killed Dad next door after making a machine gun out of some marrows and a compressed air cannon, but she's okay now, and I visit her occasionally, Mondays, once a month in the local prison. Crazy bitch has taken over A-Wing. She runs it now, the old slag. Alan Bennett, monologues. A-Team, give us some more facts.
George Peppard smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day.
That is a shit fact. That is like, that's just like saying the bloke who lives next door to you sometimes has a dump. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
What was the crime? What was the crime they were accused of that they didn't commit?
Right.
In 80 years?
Right. I think so. In the opening credits, it says it was a crime they didn't commit. Right.
Framed for a crime they didn't commit. I think.
Now, am I right in saying they stole gold bullion from Vietnam?
You're so close.
Was it something like that?
And I'm just having a sip of my strong Canadian beer. In 1972, the A-Team was sent on a covert mission to rob the Bank of Hanoi of gold bullion with the intent of helping to end the Vietnam War somehow.
They go.
For reasons
perfect.
They didn't explain. They succeeded only to find their commanding officer had been murdered in a traitorous double cross and his headquarters burned to the ground.
Fuck yeah.
Unable to prove they were acting under orders, they were sent to a maximum security stockade.
Fucking
which they promptly broke from and then escaped to the LA underground only to become soldiers of fortune.
I watched Rambo quite recently.
Oh, I rewatched it.
It's great, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic.
I love how I forgot how good it was as a comment on like men with mullets walking through the woods.
Did you know? Well, I went to America fucking years ago, and I was in a video shop, and they had Rambo on DVD, right? And it said features alternate suicide ending, and they made Rambo with an alternate suicide end. Did you know that?
No.
Absolutely amazing, because you know it is like a really good story about this guy's been shit on, no one's given him a chance, yeah. and he's just had enough.
And then they did all those sequels.
Yeah, and I guess they figured out, well, we need to make sequels. But the end is amazing, because it's him and Colonel Troutman in a room, and he's just there going, Troutman, I can't take this shit no more. I've been in the fucking woods, I grew my hair long at the back, these motherfuckers keep pushing me, Brian Dennehy, he's giving me bullshit every 5 minutes, everywhere I fucking go, people tell me to fucking leave. I've had enough, Colonel Troutman, I've had a fucking gutful. Troutman's got the gun. He says, do it, Troutman. Fucking blow me away, you fucking dick. Not in those words exactly, because I can't remember. I don't know the script. And Troutman's like, don't do it. Don't do it, Johnny, you motherfucker. I'll take you home. I'll give you a hot bath. I'll wash in between your legs. You'll be fine in 2 weeks, kid. I got to do it. You fucking kill me, you fucking dick. And he sort of falls on him. The gun goes off, and it sort of Rambo sort of pulls the trigger, and then he just collapses into the corner. Incredibly sad. Incredibly sad.
I kind of feel like it would be like... almost like an Oscar-winning film if they'd done that instead of doing all the spin-offs.
Yeah, it would have been much better. Hey, this is John Rambo. Yeah. If you like the movie you just saw, why not vote for me not to die at the end? I'll come back. I'll do 2, 3, maybe 4 of the fucking things. I got a rocket launcher.
Text 788-888 and yes or no. Lambton Deck could do it.
Remembering stuff. Remembering stuff. 0891 50 50 50. Oh, God.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Kids trying to direct remote control cars using phones. And it not working.
Yeah.
To win a Tamagotchi.
Fucking brilliant. Ah, Tamagotchi. Remembering stuff. Tamagotchis. It's the robotic pet of the future that soon everybody will have. We spoke to Ian Hulsop in Leeds, who's just bought himself a Japanese sensation called the Tamagotchi. Ian, over to you. And it's just some kid with a piece of fucking plastic that looks like a digital watch.
It's like all the charm of a Casio calculator with none of the hassle.
Fucking, oh, what a bag of bollocks. I mean, just put a cat in a plastic bag and carry that around with you. It's probably more fun, isn't it? You know.
Are you reading any books at the moment, John?
I've got an Arthur C. Clarke collection at the moment, which I'm going through. That's quite good. A couple of short science fictions. If you've got any good books.
I don't know if you realise that they did novelizations of popular A-Team episodes.
Oh, fuck off.
And they published 10 of them.
Oh, what?
One of them was titled Bullets, Bikinis and Bowels. And the other one is Operation Desert Sun, The Untold Story.
Hey, this is Mr. T. If you like the TV show, you're going to fucking love the book, kid. It's got tits, it's got claws, it's got crashes, explosions. Hey, we even talk about the plan we did to steal that motherfucking gold from Hanoi. It went fucking wrong. Fuck it. Anyway, some motherfucker wrote a movie called Rambo based on the back of that bullshit. But I tell you, ain't nobody's ass that smells worse than Colonel Decker's once he's been riding the BMX bike through the fucking Hanoi jungle. They don't even have a fucking jungle in Hanoi. It's a city, you dickweed. Got Mr. T on the phone. I'm remembering stuff left, right, and center here. Quick, get the rubber tube. Get the bath. I need help. Help me. Help me. Help me. This is the fucking... What are people listening to this shit? What the... Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. We're 17 minutes in, though. That's good.
Keep on trucking. Keep on rocking in the free world.
Hey, can you guess at his peak?
Yeah.
How many people tuned in to Steptoe and Son at his peak?
Oh, fucking good one. I don't know how many people are watching the program. Oh, am I supposed to know? I'm so busy watching you in the fucking bath, you pervert. Nobody wants to see your big piece with a bit of sweet corn stuck in it. You make me fucking sick. It'll give us an end. Get that skewer, will you? Try and pop it out. It's been there for weeks now. It's playing up a right treat. I'd say step to concern, right, the height of TV, 17.5 million a week.
No, 28 million per night.
Get in. Look at that. A pair of fingerless gloves.
Literally everybody, almost everybody.
Imagine if we'd done this podcast 40 years ago. We would have been millionaires.
Exactly. Imagine if this was like 28 million people tuned in.
Ian Adled, how long do you think the legacy will last, Adled? Oh, I should expect about 5 or 10 years after we've all died. There's no way some bastard will be talking about us in 40 years' time on a shit podcast listened to by 5 people on the other side of the fucking planet. Half of them don't even know what it is. Oh, that was sick, you bastard. Make me sick. Ian Adled, apparently. At least he might remember something. They can all look back on that and look at what he's remembering. Then again, the shit he's talking about, nobody will remember it anyway. He'll probably end up doing Alan Bennett monologues for half an hour and halfway through a shit podcast and no cunt listens to.
Did you know that they toured New Zealand?
Yes.
And Bramble was so drunk that he got kicked off a plane in Singapore because he'd urinated in the captain's cabin thinking it was a toilet.
Yes, I found this is. Yeah, I was only trying to have a piss out, and I thought in front of the front of the plane was a toilet. I wonder where that fellow was sitting in front of me as I got me touching out and sprayed piss all over his mouth and eyes, and the plane started to do a nose over. Oh, fucking is it? Oh, just piss all over the captain, you fucking fool. Did you know what happened to Bramble after a Christmas works do at the BBC that got him into a lot of trouble in some toilets?
Oh, is that where he exposed himself?
I didn't mean for it to come out, Adult. I just got excited after the Christmas works party and I needed a piss in shepherd's bush and I saw the toilets and bumped in it. Next thing you know, Adult, it had come out and I'd shown it to everybody in the toilet, outside of the toilet, halfway down the street. Them kids, what a ride, he passed on bikes. Oh, you fucking idiot. How are we supposed to get another series when he just shot everybody? You fucking cheese, help me. You fucking man.
To be honest, though, if you were in the 70s and you were getting 28 million people tuning in to watch your TV show,
you could
get away with anything. And we know that as a fact now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go into any more detail about, you know, certain celebrities.
That's just
but
a fact.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong there, you know.
I mean, he was actually quite mild in the grand scheme of things.
Would it be nice if we came back in the podcast? I could do all the things again in the form of a ghost, Adult. Imagine that. So I'd up to your bedroom at night and piss it all over your mouth.
Oh, I've got a fun segment idea.
Brilliant. That'll fill it. What are we in? 20 minutes in. We need something to fill.
It's paranormal content too. It's called Americans and the Paranormal. That's the segment name.
Okay, so this is
Do you want to do an intro first?
Yeah, okay.
Americans and the Paranormal.
Strange, outrageous, ghostly. Strange, outrageous, ghostly.
Americans and the Paranormal.
So if you put a bit of music over that.
That's
good. Americans and the Paranormal. Strange. Outrageous. Ghostly. And just
I would watch that. It's a paranormal show narrated by Christopher Walken.
Welcome back again to another incredibly spooky episode. This time, a man in Leeds, England, claims he saw a ghost come into his bedroom resembling none other than one of the guys that I've stepped to and sent, remembering stuff. Entered his room, completely unbeknownst to him, and took his dick out in front of him, sprayed piss and some kind of ectoplasm across his face, eyes, the soles of his feet, hands, under his armpits, even his own buttocks sprayed solidly with ectoplasm. Help me. Help me. What were we doing, Americans and Paranormal?
Yeah, yeah. You got to guess. What percentage of Americans claim to have had a paranormal experience?
Right, 100% of Americans. What percentage? 89.
Oh, 71.
Fuck, so close. So close.
What percent believe in the existence? Oh, sorry, go on.
I can vouch for these guys, you know, on some of those movies, ghosts are everywhere. In the dressing room, the trailer, even, I've seen it haunted, covered in somebody else's ectoplasm, dribbling off of the script onto the camera. You look at Star Wars, full of ghosts. I was nearly in that movie, but I got sacked for doing a piss in my pants. Help me. Help me.
What percent believe in the existence of ghosts?
80.
Oh, 34.
No, oh, okay. All right. So,
I think they're more into aliens.
Yeah, they're big on the aliens. Yeah. I Bigfoot's the one for me. Have you got any Bigfoot facts there?
No, this is mainly about... So 56% believe that spirits of the dead are... believe ghosts are spirits of the dead. Yeah. 23% believe they're energy imprints.
Right.
10% think they're from other dimensions. 7% no such thing. 2% hallucinations and 2% demons.
Alan Bennett monologue upcoming. Mother decided to have a seance last night, so we got the seance out and got the Ouija board ready. And Mother had one of her funny turns again, so we lay her down on the sofa and she claimed she died for a few moments and rose above the bed and could see down my top and claimed my nipples looked extremely erect at the time. She came back into herself afterwards and we had some beans on toast and we watched an episode of Hetty Wainthrop and then she went to bed, although we did stop to listen to some Wu-Tang Clan again and she enjoyed that, claiming Ghostface Killer were her favourite. I suppose she's always been linked to the paranormal in some ways. Anyway, off to the shops now. I've got to pick up some fish for Thursday. Alan Bennett monologues. Help me. Help me.
Oh, God.
Fuck me, this podcast shit.
Last one before we move on to our next segment.
Yeah.
Called I'm Walking Here.
Oh, good.
That's the next segment. Eh?
Good, because we could throw in a Christopher Walken, you know,
another kind of title sequence. So what percent of Americans believe Ouija boards are dangerous?
Good question. That's going to be a strong 82.
65.
Oh, come off it. They've all seen The Exorcist. They all know what it can do to you, you know? Shocking.
They should know. Anyway, you ready for I'm Walking Here?
So should we do, can you like put together a jingle for this? If I do like an ident, can you put a swoosh or something over it?
I'll try my best.
It'll fill up some time, you know?
Yeah, I'll try my best.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking.
Walking. Christopher, it's a joke. Get it? Funny.
I'm walking.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking.
Is that any good?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I'll do. I can work with that.
Okay, fantastic.
Did you know, I got some facts for you.
Yeah.
Did you know he was, when he was 16, he spent the summer working as a lion tamer at a circus?
Now, I've heard about this. Now, wasn't he a dancer as well?
I'm not sure.
I think he was Christopher Walken was a professional dancer. I think he did a lot of circus stuff. But the thing I find most unnerving, have you seen the young picture of him where he looks like, who's that American actress who does all the sort of action films, you know, people in capes flying and stuff? She does those sorts of films. She was in one with Bill Murray where they went to Japan and they got lost in translation. She's in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Scott. Have you seen?
He does. I just googled it. No, he does. He looks like look Scarlett Johansson.
So young Christopher Walken looks like Scarlett Johansson. What's going on there? I mean, if you're listening to this bag of shit and you've been here for 26 minutes, at least there's something you can do here. You can actually Google.
Yeah, at least that's an active some homework.
There's something that you might get out of this sack of shit. Sack of shit. Terrible.
Do you know what his real name is?
What's his real name? Now, is it a sort of European sounding name?
No, Ronald.
Okay. Ronald Walken. Is that it? I thought he had like sort of Eastern European heritage or something like that, you know, but.
Yeah, so the reason is he talks that way is because English was his second language as a kid.
Right. Which he did grow up with a lot of Eastern or European sort of influences.
German. It was German father right. called Paul.
My dad's Paul name Walken, was Paul, which is naturally the most German name you could ever imagine, especially as a kid growing up on the Lower East Side or wherever I grew up. I don't know. I just make this bullshit up. It's something to do. And the fact I'm really called Ronald is neither here nor there, but it's true. Kid. You gotta believe me. I saw a ghost. It put piss in my eyes. Help me. Help me, kid. I'll embed it flashback. Sometimes on the podcast, there's another guy called Mike who turns up and occasionally does funny voices or rings a bell. And they might even mention Dad's Army, which was one of Mother's favourites until she had her first funny turn, whereupon she asked if we could take her back to bed. So we tucked her in and we played some Wu-Tang Clan to her again, and she seemed to enjoy that, claiming that Old Dirty Bastard were her favourite, and it was a shame he passed so early. Mother went into a diabetic coma again after that, so we left her there for 5 or 6 days.
Alan Bennett! Alan Bennett monologues! Wu-Tang Clan! The idea of Alan Bennett playing Wu-Tang Clan to his mother! Fucking brilliant! Fuck me, this podcast is a load of shit.
I like how you made the joke and then you explained the joke. It's great.
Fuck me. This is really so fucking terrible. Oh, hang on. My phone's ringing. It's Mike.
Your phone's ringing. Oh, it's Mike. It's Mike. Great.
Mike, can you hear me?
Hey, John. It's Mike here. Because I'm going on with the rest of the Gabalfa. You're never going to guess what's happening to me. Like a fucking... Excuse me. I got terrible diarrhea after sucking half a fish I found in a bin outside Weatherspoon. You're never going to guess what's happened to me, lads. You know my 3-foot nipple? Well, stinks of piss because it perpetually leaks sweat. I only got a fucking front of it wrapped around the back tire of my fucking BMX when I was going back up the Gavalfa to do some fucking wheelies to impress some fucking girls what I'd seen up there who works out with all professionals who I worked in Ratner's Jewelers. And I fancied showing off to her a bit to see if I could get some free rings, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm here for the next 5-10 minutes, lad, unravelling me free foot long nipple from the tyre of my bike. But I'll check in with you later, lads, if that's all right, if you don't mind. I'll call you later, lads. I gotta go. I gotta try and get my tit out of this bike wheel.
Ta-da! Ta-da, lads! Ta-da! Ta-da! Well, that's my guy.
That's nice of him to check in.
Yeah, he's up the Gabalfa with his free foot nipple.
Last time we did this, where there was the two of us, and you called him Nipple Piss Bubbins, and we called the episode that, he didn't listen to it, and people were coming up to him calling him that, and he was like, he wasn't very impressed, and it was quite funny.
The idea of a man having a 3-foot-long nipple that he's kept secret from everybody his entire life.
That's why he was really angry.
It constantly sweats a type of piss that stinks of piss. And if you get too close to him, you can smell ever such a faint smell of piss coming off this 3-foot-long nipple, which every day he very carefully wraps it in special sort of medical tape to try and keep it. But on the hottest of days, you will smell the piss coming out of his 3-foot-long nipple. Fuck me, this podcast is terrible.
This is great. This is good. I've got one more, Christopher. I'm walking here.
Okay.
Fact.
Yeah, try that.
Did you know that Marlon Brando pitched a bizarre variety TV show to him?
Okay, what was the idea of that?
He just called him randomly in the 90s. Brando.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Brando and Son. Crawl across the edge of a razor, and it lived. Colonel Kurtz, Steptoe and Son, help me. Remembering stuff, Alan Bennett. Mother came in again today and asked if we could watch Apocalypse Now on DVD, the Redux version, which incredibly long though it is. She managed to get through most of it, but she did have one of her funny turns towards the end, so I placed the rubber tube inside of her and blew into it for a while. It seemed to bring her back round, and then she asked if I could put her back to bed, so we popped her in the bed and popped a bit of Wu-Tang Clan on. And she turned to me and said Jizza was her favourite member, no, not because his name sounds like the fluid that comes out of a man's willy, but because his craftsmanship at rhyming was so fantastic. Anyway, fish and chips for dinner tonight.
Alan Bennett. Just remembering stuff that nobody else probably gives a fuck about in this podcast.
we brought up Crystal Maze and
yeah,
other
you're right.
things.
You're right.
Yeah.
The Demon Seed, we bought up the Crystal Maze and other things. There's a quote.
Other things, exactly.
Get it on a T-shirt.
That's the elevator pitch. There we go. So
guys, you got this great podcast. I hear you got over 120 listeners. What's so good about it, guys, that you want $2.5 million investing? Tell me what the best thing is. We got Crystal Maze. We've got that.
Other stuff.
Sign the dotted line, you bastards. You're about to become multimillionaires. Now put two fingers down the back of your pants and smell that, kid. You know what that is? The smell of success. Help me. I got a bit of sweet corn under my nail. Fuck it.
Do you want to know why Brando was calling him up?
Yeah, go on. Sorry, I just got this sidetracked.
No, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite rude. I'm joking. Yeah,
go on.
Brando's idea was that they would film a music variety show in his house and he'd make guests do dance routines for him.
Fuck me.
He wanted welcome to be one of the guests. He would make dance.
Professional dancer.
Asked him if he wanted a slot.
Yeah.
Asked him if he wanted a slot on there.
And he obviously turned that down.
Yeah, nothing ever happened to it. And I think Brando just died or something. Did you know that in A View to a Kill, I'm going to throw in another sneaky one.
Yeah, go on.
He didn't like horses. He said horses have never liked him.
Okay.
And in A View to a Kill, when he's on a horse, it's a stuffed horse on a trolley with tires being towed behind a truck.
Alan Bennett, monologues, it's coming back. Took mother out today for a day trip to the local farm and they offered rides on the horses, but my mother wasn't too pleased with the idea of that, so we had one of the horses shot and put some wheels on the bottom of it and we dragged her along for a while until she had one of her turns and we took her back home and got her into bed, whereupon she asked if we play some Wu-Tang Clan to her, and I agreed, and she asked for Gravel Pit, which in my mind is the worst of all their songs, but the most radio-friendly single, and she sang along with that for a while until she went into one of her diabetic comas again and passed out, but nonetheless, I'll pop to the shops and get some fondant fancies for when she comes round later.
Alan Bennett, help me! Jesus Christ, this is the fucking worst podcast anyone's ever listened to in their fucking life.
Do you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
I've got no memory of who Alan Bennett is, what you're talking about. But
basically,
it's still good.
Basically. I think about six people will, and the rest can then Google him and find out about his monologues. And
I'm going to do it now.
Yeah, it's
funny. On their behalf.
Just find an Alan Bennett monologue and just play a bit of that down the... That'll fit up. We can play 30 seconds of something without getting in trouble.
There's
for
a British TV series.
Yeah, he writes all sorts of great things where it's basically, mother decided today to baked beans on toast, but she decided they weren't quite right for her, so she put them down her pants and bounced up and down on the chair until they turned into a mushy paste, whereupon She asked if I'd eat them out of her underwear. I said, no, that's unhygienic, Mother. And she proceeded to punch me in the face until she went into a diabetic coma. We popped her into bed. She did ask if she could listen to some Wu-Tang before she went to bed. She did. We gave her into the 36 Chambers, the most famous and probably the best Wu-Tang of all the albums by Wu-Tang. Alan Bennett.
Do you know they remade them?
The monologues?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite popular stuff. I mean, it's the sort of thing you would have seen on a sort of Sunday night when you were about 11 and thought, what the fuck is this shit, and turned it off. But it's a bit like Derek and Clive, but I mean, it's not like Derek and Clive at all, but it's great to hear a monologue about something you like, Northern Lights.
Everybody loves a monologue.
Yeah, I love them. They're great fun, you know. I think they're a great bit of fun. But then, again, if you're listening to this, you don't know what the fuck it is, have a look online. It'll waste some time. You might find something decent to listen to, you know. That's always that's always a bit of fun. If you're in the car, you know, have a look at an Alan.
There's worse things you can do to yourself.
Like put a gun up your bottom and pull the trigger. Demon Seed, not as bad as putting a gun up your bottom and pulling the trigger.
That's not very good health advice at all.
Demon Seed, not very good at health advice. See, T-shirt. Good,
yeah.
Fuck, this is terrible. This
may contain dangerous health advice.
Oh, René, I am only doing the voice because we have very little to talk about and we have to fill the shit up with the same shit in a different order, and this might help for a little bit. Please let me die. I am over 100 years old, you piece of shit. Help me. Help me.
Don't die. I got a great news story for you from the New York Times from 1925.
Can we change this into a new feature? What can we call this one? What about? I've got it. A great story from the New York Times in 1925. Five. And there's an echo on there as well.
There we go.
Okay.
You like this? Do you like pancakes?
Yeah, not bad. I don't mind a good pancake.
Do you like turtles?
Yeah, they're
headline.
Fine.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah, pancake-loving turtle kidnapped from home. He's visited for years. That's the headline. This is from Brookhaven, New York.
Brookhaven, New York, 1925. My mom was making the greatest fucking pancakes you'd ever seen in your life. Besides that, she had a turtle that looked like no other fucking turtle on the east side. You know what we call it? Tommy the fucking turtle. And you know what was special about it? If you shit yourself, it would pull a sweet corn out of your asshole and eat it for you, that motherfucker.
It's not that different from the real story. Mrs. Edward Rayner's pet turtle, which came to her back door every day in spring and summer for 4 years to get pancakes made by a recipe known to her family for 200 years, has been kidnapped and advertised as lost.
So it's in 1925.
Yeah.
It's clearly dead now, but what happened to it in between it getting kidnapped? Did it ever get returned?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It says someone had carved a letter B in his back.
Right.
And then... it would always come back for pancakes in the summer and the spring, but then would vanish in the winter.
You know what and that then... B stood for? It stood for bastard. That turtle was the biggest bastard on the Lower East Side. That son of a bitch deserved to be kidnapped, eating those motherfucking pancakes. Every fucking week for 2 weeks it turned up. Some motherfucker, they didn't kidnap it. They bumped that motherfucker off. Alan Bennett. And suddenly I'm having flashbacks to being Alan Bennett again, doing a monologue about Mother having one of her funny turns and having to have a lie down, but asking very quietly and gently Mary if she could listen to some Wu-Tang before she went to bed. So we let her listen to Jizz's Liquid Swords album, which has got that great opening monologue from, what's that film called about the ninjas? I can never remember, but it says something about choose the ball and join your mother, or choose the sword and join me. And of course I chose the sword and Mother let me join her. A unique gang of samurai assassins. That's the name of the film, Shogun Assassin. Alan Bennett talking
talking about Shogun Assassin while his mother has a diabetic breakdown. Help me. Help me. Jesus Christ.
I mean, this is the worst podcast of all time. Go on, do it.
Ever decreasing circles.
Do the fart noise. Do the fart noise. Ever decreasing circles.
Russ Abbott dressed up as a Scottish person. Offensive these days.
Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
Button Moon secretly selling Heinz beans. TJ Hooker. Captain
Rock on
Kirk.
Tommy. Captain all the classics. Do the fart noise. Strain. Make a straining noise. Then just say help me. Just say help me over and over again.
Help me. Help.
Fucking hell. This is such a fucking horrible podcast.
Rainbow. Rainbow. The episode full of innuendo that nobody knows if it's real or not.
Oh, wonderful times. Great time.
Karate Kid. There's another one.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Just naming things now. Fart noise. There you go.
Green Cross Code Man, played by Dave Prowse, who was actually Darth Vader, had a West Country accent. People always say, wouldn't Star Wars be good if you had a West Country accent? I say, no, fuck off, it would have been shit. Fuck off.
How much longer are we going to do this shit for? The people are suffering. They're suffering listening to this.
I'll find some more paranormal stuff.
I'll tell you what, I'll find some. We've never found any paranormal stuff. This is the most paranormal it's ever been, and it's fucking terrible.
I'll find some more paranormal stuff. No, it's fine. I don't know how I'll top Sticky Boy.
It was just a young sticky boy came to the door asking for trick-or-treat money, and Mother was quite taken aback at first, but when she realised he weren't actually a goblin, she invited him in for 5 minutes and asked if he'd like to listen to Wu-Tang Clan, whereupon he said no, he preferred more to listen to other types of hip-hop, like Gangstar, or more golden era sounds like KRS-One, but Mother took a turn to that and punched him in the face and sadly fell into a diabetic coma shortly afterwards. But she did ask if she could listen to some Gangstar as an alternate to Wu-Tang Clan, but of course she fainted before we got it on.
Alan Bennett. Hip-hop monologues. Help me.
Fucking hell.
I just searched weird news. On the Associated Press.
Okay.
And none of it's paranormal. There's one about a 10-inch knife was found inside a baby car seat in Boston Airport.
That's just knife. That's surely just knife news.
Knife smuggling. Yeah. Alabama man charged with theft of 70-ton crane.
Okay. Again, you know, thievery. That's not so much weird, just a thieving bastard. Put that in the thieving bastard section, ideally, you know.
Yeah. A couple in New Zealand find a giant potato.
I actually fucking read that one. So
did you read that one?
They didn't find a giant potato after all. They just had a giant root growing in their garden that was like not a potato, so they couldn't actually get anything out of it. So, you know, that's...
Indiana boy rescued after getting stuck in a tree rescuing cat.
Fuck me.
It sounds like a cheap version of Indiana Jones, Indiana Boy.
You see, I got this great idea for a movie. It's about a 7-year-old kid, but he's an archaeologist, but he's not really. He just digs holes in the garden. Anyways, one day he's teaching a class of fully grown adults about archaeology, because that's what he does, even though he's a 7-year-old kid who just digs holes in the garden. When somebody comes along and says, something to do with Nazi gold, he gets on a plane, shoots some bastard, saves the world, something to do with ghosts, opens a thing, shit. You know what I mean. Give me the money, you cunt. Give me the fucking money, you asshole.
There we go. Apparently, a bat crashed a screening of The Batman in Texas.
Right.
And was flying around in the theater.
And in lighter news,
enough about war. In lighter news,
yeah. And finally, a cinema in Devon was invaded by a bat today during the premiere of the latest Batman film. Fans attending the film said it was hilarious as the bat flew around as they actually watched the film. We spoke to Dan Tailforth, who was there watching the film at the time. Dan, what was it like? It was a fucking bat.
There's a bat. There's a bat in this. There's a bat in the. In the... Thanks, Dan. This is the worst podcast of all.
Oh, God. I got another one. I got another Michigan woman turning 100 adds another tattoo. It's just an old lady who's got tattoos.
Mother decided to get another tattoo today, even though she's 96. She thought the idea of getting the Wu-Tang logo across her left breast would have been fantastic, but sadly, skin's so thin now it just ripped when they tried to put the initial needle in, and she was rushed into hospital and sadly went into diabetic coma before they got there. But she did ask if the ambulance drivers would play some Wu-Tang on the way in. Sadly, they didn't have any, so she had to make do with Cliff Richard's Wired for Sound. Anyway, we'll get some fondant fancies in and have cake for tea.
Alan Bennett, help me. Help me. Jesus Christ, this is the worst podcast I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Oh, God.
This is my favourite one I just found, though.
Yeah.
A woman in Zhengzhou province, or is that a city?
Zhangji. We all know my favourite.
What's your favourite Chinese province?
Well, of course, as it goes, with your provinces, mate, you've got your Zhangji's, but I mean, personally, I'm a big fan of the Guangdong province, mate. I've been going there for over 35 years. Me and a wife used to go every summer, look, in her 70s, when it was a lot cheaper in them days. You got a flight for 13 quid, get over to your fucking Guangdong, you got a fucking hotel, all the food you can eat, Chinese, mind you, so proper, a proper deal, like, much lager as you can drink, and of course, we'd have a fucking couple of weeks in the Guangdong province, but, well, time's changing and politics changing. It's not so safe these days, so we just stays in and we just recreates the Guangdong province in the backyard by the wife. The wife just digs a channel to create a sort of river, and then we build up an industrial area around it, and I make iPhones on the side of it until I get so depressed by it I throw myself out of a window. But overall, it's a great laugh, like, mate. Fucking Guangdong, mate, you can't beat it. Guangdong 70, we got all the photos, we got them all, we got a slide shot. You have to come round with the missus, mate, and we'll show you the slides on Guangdong 70, mate. Fucking glorious year, that was. Glorious, mate.
Yeah. I love it. Just the mental image of that is top quality. Anyway,
top quality, two words never used with this. Yeah.
So this woman there was on a blind date at somebody else's house,
right,
and then they did a swift COVID lockdown. And now she's stuck at her blind date's house.
Fucking hell. Not in Guangdong province.
No, in Zhengzhou province.
Of course, you remember when they had that fucking lockdown, we was Carly come round to the apartment. Of course, we was in Guangdong on fucking holidays and they had the fucking lockdown, didn't they? Well, of course, we can't go nowhere while we're the fucking lockdown happening. Carly had come round for a blind date. I don't know with, because I managed my wife and there was no one else there. Like, but of course, she was stuck there, and we ends up being stuck in lockdown in the Guangdong province for over 13 months. Of course, it does drive you up the wall a bit, but after a while, you get used to it, and I'm picking up a bit of the local dialects at the moment, so we're learning a bit of Mandarin, as it were, mate. So, hopefully I'll be back in a new year, providing they open the doors again, ain't it? Anyway, gotta go. Gonna go and run a hot bath and wash in between my legs for 5 minutes. Fuck all else to do here, mate.
Apparently they're embarrassed because they don't know each other very well. They've been there 5 days. And he doesn't talk a lot, but he does cook, which is great.
Just constantly making a fried breakfast. Are you still hungry? Do you want a bit of... No, so I had a breakfast. I had a breakfast earlier. Do you want some bacon and egg? I just quite like cooking. I don't really want... Do you want some of this? I've had four breakfasts as it is, mate. You're all right, you know. Fucking
There's a company here in Nova Scotia, and there's a man, and he's got loads of lizards and snakes, and he does birthday parties, and he turns up at your house.
Yeah.
And he'll just like get them out of tubs and show them to kids to hold. But the business is called For Pete's Snakes.
That's fucking brilliant. Oh my God.
It's brilliant.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
This is a great podcast.
Having an Alan Bennett snake moment. Story lasted like added 30 seconds.
And fried bread for breakfast is not one of Mother's favourites, but she does like a fry up from time to time. And just before she went into a diabetic coma after overdoing the amount of sugar in her cocoa this morning, she did ask if we'd play some more Wu-Tang. And just as she went under, she did proclaim, "Wu-Tang killer bees, they're on a swarm," which was one of my favourite anthemic sayings from a Wu-Tang song. After that, she did start to slide away, and it looks like she won't be here for much longer. But oh well, fish and chips for tea. Alan Bennett, having an Alan Bennett. Wu-Tang eats Alan Bennett. You know.
Oh my God. If people listening to this are going to bump into Mike or want to interact with him on social media, what nickname should they give him this time? Actually, we should brainstorm.
He's on the phone again. Hang on.
Oh, is he? Let's ask him.
Mike.
Hey, boys. It's fucking Mike, yeah. Still up like a bell for like. I gotta say, I am missing the fucking podcast tonight, lads. You know my fucking nipples. Sadly extended by another 3.5 inches since last time we spoke. It was 3 foot 3 inches long at the moment, exuding piss left, right and centre. As you know, nipple piss problems is a name I gotta deal with, which I do find quite charming in some ways. Anyway, I'm still up like a bell for, and I've managed to unravel it from the front wheel of the bike, but you never guess what happened. Of course, I've seen them women while working in Ratners, tried to do a couple of wheelies to impress them, so I get my hands on a couple of rings, if you know what I mean. And of course, the nipple went in the back wheel, so it's all wrapped around the gears now on the bike. Shimano gears, mind you, not shit ones. Looks like I'm going to be here for another couple of days, lads. So keep on doing what you're doing, and I'll get back in contact when I've unraveled my 3 foot 3 inch piss-stinking nipple from the back wheel of my bike, lads. So I've got to go. Ta-da. See you later, lads. Ta-da. Ta-da. Ta-da, lads. See you later.
Nice to see you, Frog.
Oh, Mike there, still working on his bike up the Gibraltar Interchange.
Well, while he called, I was like, I wonder who's got the world's longest nipple.
Oh, yeah, Mike Bubbins. Mike Bubbins, no. 76, of Cardiff, claims the world record for the longest nipple in mankind's history. Mike was born with a 3 foot nipple, which managed to extend by 1 foot for every year of his life. Now Mike wraps it around his legs and stays indoors most of the time because it exudes piss, which he stinks off. I can't believe I just said that on a podcast.
Do you know there's a Guinness World Record for the longest hair, nipple hair?
Okay, but what about the actual nipple? Have we got a 3 foot nipple?
No,
there?
It's just normal size, but the hair is 17 centimetres long.
Not bad. Not bad.
And it's Daniel Tuveri from Italy.
Yeah.
Holds the world record.
He's a Daniel Tuveri. I'm so happy to be here because for me, it's good to be in the Guinness World Book of Records because I have all of my life I tried to do something that's good and get people to notice me, but I tried to make the biggest pizza, it no happened. I tried to run the furthest, it no happened. I tried to do the biggest piece, it no happened. But eventually I get to grow the longest teeth there in the world. It's over 25 meters long. I show it to people. Eventually when I die, they're going to cut it off. They're going to sew it into some clothes and the people can wear it. It's very nice. Fucking hell. 53 minutes in, and this is what it comes to.
Vittorio Lullo from Italy has got 28.2 centimeter long chest here.
Hey, it's me, Vittorio Lullo. I have the longest chest there in the world. I cut it off. I make a pube wig. I make my own underpants from my own pubes. I cut them off. I blend them together. I got a nice pair of pants there for you to try. Don't get skid marks in them. Don't come out of the pubes so easy. But it's good for you. 53 minutes.
Good
How
work.
Much longer are we going to do this shit for?
I'm out of facts. That's all I am.
Eventually, it was time for them to go. And Mother was feeling a bit tired after a heavy fish and chip supper. And supper, I meant supper, but can't speak properly now. I'm myself going into a diabetic coma. Although she did ask if I'd play some Wu-Tang before we went to bed. And I claimed I didn't have any more left. So she punched me in the balls and went into her own diabetic coma and just passed out in the corner of the room. Oh, well, we'll go out tomorrow and get some ice cream. That'll be nice. Alan Bennett. Oh, Brit! Fucking hell, this is the shittest podcast ever. Listen to him, fucking, like, not even listening to him speak.
Should we just go now?
Just fucking ruined everybody's day. Should we just end it? I think.
Know. Somehow. We thought we hit rock bottom. Turns out there was a big cave underneath.
Yeah, this podcast is the Rambo alternate suicide ending of all podcasts. I think we should just end it now.
It's a very dark way of summing it up, but very accurate.
You be Colonel Troutman, I'll be Rambo. Unless, have you just pressed stop? I mean, Hopefully you'll have jazzed it up with a sound effect somewhere, but I think we just, let's just stop.
Yeah.
Let's just, yeah.
I'll depends if I'm busy.
Yeah, just end it now. So just, that's it.
Oh, goodbye. I just realized I spelled demon seed and I put demom seed. So let's go.
Yeah, just turn it off. Just fucking turn it off.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's here.
Come on down here and help us.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.